What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this episode of Better Than Before. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Burnett, and I'm here to educate, motivate, and inspire you to live your best life and to be better than before. How's it going, everybody? I hope you're doing fantastic. It is a beautiful day today, Thursday, May 14. I'm here up in my office recording this episode for you guys. I hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing fantastic. Hope you're out there hustling and working hard to be better than before. I'm very excited today. I've got a lot of exciting things in the works that I'm working on, striving to be better than before, and I hope you're doing the same thing. But 2 months ago, I was not this excited and this pumped up. I was actually downright frightened and terrified of a lot of things, of getting sick, of my family getting sick with this coronavirus. I was terrified that I was going to lose my business because the whole world seemed to be crumbling and the sky was falling. But I stayed persistent, I stayed focused, I stayed proactive, and now things are improving. We're on the backside of this pandemic. Our state here in Florida is starting to lift restrictions. Things are opening back up. Businesses are opening back up. And things are slowly starting to get back to normal. And I am very excited. And during this time, I've tried to better myself, better my business, better my relationships. And I'm starting to see the fruit from all that work. I'm very excited. During this last 2 months, I've been using my free time to work on a online mobility program that I'm very excited about. I'm getting very close to releasing here in the next month, looking to release that in June. This is going to be one of my programs called Mobility Matters, and it's going to be a 30-day challenge where people can purchase the program and log on every day to a member site where they can access the daily videos, where I'm going to take them through the daily protocols. And over the 30 days, we're going to cover every single part of the body from the head down to the toes, working on flexibility, mobility, and working on all those things that's going to help reduce pain, prevent injuries, and improve performance. So that's one of the things that I'm working on. During this time, I found a new office location for my chiropractic practice. I'm going to be moving just right around the corner, not far, actually walking distance, but I found an office that has more space and is less money per month for rent. So I'm very excited about that and going to be bringing on a lot of new services here in my office. I've actually recently purchased an infrared sauna that I've put together in my current location here and going to be moving it to my new office August 1st. So very excited about all those things I have in the works. As far as personally, I really enjoyed this time, not getting away from the hustle and bustle of, work, and just all the demands on life. You know, one of the silver linings of this whole thing is I think people have kind of reprioritized what's important to them. And I know I have. I've really enjoyed spending more time with my family, with my sons, my girlfriend and her daughter, and just taking care of myself. Even though I can't go to the gym, which I've been sad about, I've made the most out of it, and I've been doing a lot of throwing outside, getting outside. There's a beautiful park right down the street from where I live called the Miccosukee Greenways. I've been going out there several times a week. And just the weather's been so beautiful lately, and just enjoyed getting outside. It's a huge park, so there's lots of people out there, but everyone is far away from each other. No one's too close. Everyone's still social distancing, and it's just been nice to get out there and throw, practice the Highland Games, which is something that you guys know if you've listened to my other podcasts. You know that I am passionate about throwing and the Scottish Highland Games. And I've also been doing some kettlebell workouts in my garage. I've lost about 10 pounds or so over the last 2 months. So trying to slim down, get my summer body ready. But one of the things that I'm really excited about getting back to normal. Actually, yesterday, I just got a haircut and a beard trim. It's been 3 months since I've had a haircut, so it's looking a little grizzly. So if you guys want to go on my Facebook page or Instagram at Brian Burnett, or Instagram is BCBurnett77. I posted some pictures, my before and after pictures there. But I was very excited to finally get a haircut. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is when they open the movie theaters back up. That is one of my favorite pastimes with my sons. We go to the $5 Tuesday movies and get some pizza, some snacks and drinks. And we really enjoy going to the movies. Last year in 2019, believe it or not, I saw 25 movies in theaters. So I'm a big movie buff. Love going to the movie theaters. Just a fun pastime for my sons and I. And so I'm excited for the movie theaters to open back up. And one of our favorite movies is the Marvel movies. The last 2 years, the Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame was one of the most epic movies I've ever seen. And I really got obsessed with the whole series of Marvel movies. And I've watched them all. I follow a lot of the theories online about the different movies and different things that the movies mean, the plots behind them, and theories about what's going to happen next as we move into phase four of the Marvel universe. But one of the things I'm excited about is the next movie to be released, which is the Black Widow movie, which is actually going to be an origin story where they're going to tell her backstory, where she came from. And I really enjoy the origin stories. It's probably one of my favorite types of comic book movies, because you get to really understand where this character came from and what made them who they are today. You get to see where they came from and the struggles that they overcame that transformed them into who they are today, the superhero or this villain. So that's the idea for today's podcast. What I wanted to share with you is my personal origin story, where I came from, the struggles I've gone through that have transformed me and made me into who I am today. And so I'm going to get a little personal with you guys about, you know, myself and the struggles that I've been through. And I hope that's okay with you. But I just want to be open, real, and raw with you guys. Because we all come from that place. We all, no matter who we are, everyone goes through struggles. And one of my favorite quotes is from Frederick Douglass, that without struggle, there is no progress. And if you have never been through real struggles, which we all go through different struggles in life, no one has, you know, there are certainly people that have been through some really horrible stuff, but we all go through our own personal struggles. But the people that are able to really be successful in life and to be better than before are those that are able to learn from those struggles, to be able to really harness the that struggle, what it means to them, and cause it to transform their life for the better. So that's what I'm trying to do. That's what my whole purpose in life is, trying to be better than before, to be the best version of myself. So I was born back in 1981. I have an identical twin brother. My brother and I were a month premature. So, you know, at birth, I was about 4 pounds, a little over 4 pounds. So even right there, had struggles because I was premature. I was underweight, which you wouldn't know now. I'm 6'2", 240 pounds. But early on in life, I was not, well, when I was born, I was not very big. But according to my mom, we quickly grew to be very heavy babies. But, you know, early in life, we did not have a lot of money. My dad was in the Air Force, and so we lived in Germany, and I don't really have any memories because I was so young, but my dad apparently was an alcoholic and would take my brother and I to beer tents in Germany and leave us there all day long while he got drunk. And just was not a very responsible person. And I think that's what ended my parents' marriage. And they got a divorce when I was very young, 3-4 years old. And we moved back to Texas. So I never knew my dad. The last time I saw him, I was 7 years old. I never had a personal relationship with him. My mid-20s, I tried to reach out to him and try to reconnect. But unfortunately, he tragically passed away in a drowning. And I've never seen him since I was 7 years old. So I've never had that father figure in my life. I've had stepdads and, you know, other people that have been father figures, and I've had mentors through my coaches in high school and college, and pastors and growing up in youth group and church, and people that have definitely been important in my life. I've never had that permanent father figure. And there's lots of people. I'm certainly not saying that I'm unique in any way, because there's lots of people out there that didn't have a dad growing up. But that was one of the struggles that I had to overcome. So early on in life, I think I never really played sports. You know, I didn't have a dad to, you know, throw the football with or the baseball or to kind of push me into playing sports. So it wasn't really an interest of mine. But when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I saw my first Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and it was Commando. And I instantly, that's what I wanted to be, is this big, strong guy with big biceps, chopping down trees. And and that started my passion for wanting to be physical, to be strong, to be physically cultured. And so I've watched all the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. I have all of them on DVD. And but still, I didn't play sports. So when I was about 10 years old, we lived in Texas. My mom lost her job at the hospital and struggled to make ends meet. I remember she used to deliver newspapers in the middle of the night, and sometimes she would let my brother and I go with her, and we'd have to wake up at midnight. We'd go to this little warehouse place. We'd help her roll the papers, and we'd stack them up in her minivan, and then for several hours we'd go help her sling papers till 5 in the morning. And certainly not a conventional childhood. But my mom, you know, worked very hard, did a lot of different things trying to provide for us and make ends meet. But eventually decided to join the Navy. And so she went to boot camp. And when I was in fourth grade, we lived with my grandparents for half the year while she was in boot camp, which my grandparents have always been our rock and foundation. And if it wasn't for them, I certainly would not be the man I am today, and I would not be where I'm at today. And so my mom finished boot camp, and my brother and I and our stepdad moved to Florida. My mom got stationed at Mayport outside of Jacksonville, Florida, and that's where we moved. And that's where we stayed, and that's where I grew up. My mom did 4 years in the Navy and then got out and went to truck driving school. She's done a lot of interesting things to try to make ends meet. And unfortunately, when she finished school and started driving, my stepdad, Wayne, got sick with cancer. So she had to come home and take care of him. And that was difficult. That was when I was in middle school, about seventh or eighth grade. And at that point, I was a pretty tall kid. I surfed a lot, surfed and skateboard because I grew up at the beach. And that was one of my first passions. And then I was about in eighth grade, about 6 foot tall, 140 pounds. So I went out for football for the first time and didn't really know what I was doing, but I was one of the tallest kids on the team. So they put me on the O-line. And that's when I first time I really played sports and actually enjoyed it. And then I was a really good student and I made straight A's for the most part. And I got accepted into a magnet school, but it was on the other side of town in a bad neighborhood at a bad school, which seems to be the trend. They always put the magnet schools in the struggling schools in the worst parts of town. But I was going to have to commute an hour both ways, so 2 hours a day to go to this school. And but I was excited about it. I was really serious about my schoolwork. And it was right just a couple weeks before school started. And my brother went to try out for the high school football team at our local high school that we were zoned for at the beach in Neptune Beach outside of Jacksonville. And I was like, man, I really want to play football. Like, I want to do this with my brother. And so at the last minute, I decided not to go to the magnet school. And I decided to try out for the football team and go to my local high school. And I'm so glad I did, because that was one of the best experiences of my life that taught me a lot of great lessons. And I have a lot of great memories from that time period of my life. So I went into ninth grade and I was 6'1", 150 pounds, skinny, long hair, surfer kid. And the only thing I'd ever played was offensive line. So that's what I wanted to play. But these kids were 100 pounds heavier than I was, 250, even 300 pounds. And so I knew that I had to get a little bit bigger if I wanted to actually be competitive. So this was the fall. I started eating everything in sight and working out in the weight room every day and taking 1,000-calorie weight gainer shakes. And this is where my passion for working out started. And within 6 months from fall to spring, my freshman year in high school, I went from 150 to 200 pounds and caught the attention of my coaches because I was working out hard. I was going to practice. And then my sophomore year, I went up to 220. And I started on the offensive line at right guard, and then ended up, you know, getting about 240, which is about the most weight that my frame can hold. I've recently was 250, but that's the heaviest I've ever been. And you know, I wasn't the biggest offensive lineman, but I certainly worked harder than anyone else. I never quit on a play, never took a play off. I always drove till the whistle blew, and my coaches definitely noticed that, and that's why I started all 3 years, sophomore, junior, and senior year. My freshman year, we were terrible. We only won 2 games, or 2-8, and then my sophomore year, we're 8-2 because of great running back Seatric Faison, who I played with and blocked for from middle school all through high school. Seatric Faison set most of the high school records. And he broke all of Emmett Smith's records for rushing yards, for touchdowns. And it was just amazing to get to play with him and block for him, because he made me look good. I just had to, you know, block my man and give him just, you know, a couple inches of opening and he would take off for 70 yards. And it was just a beautiful thing to watch. And I just became in love with football, with the game. You know, I studied it. I studied all the top recruits, you know, and knew how big they were, how tall they were, how fast they were, how strong they were. And I was striving for that. And that's where that passion to be better than before really originated from. That's where it started, is wanting to be the best football player that I could be. And I got a lot of offers to smaller schools, so Ivy League schools, D2 schools. But I really didn't want to leave home, leave Florida. So my sophomore year, my good friend Steve Arflin, that I played football with, I was right guard. He was right tackle. He was 6'4", 315, All-American, full beard in high school, looked like a grown-ass man, and but just a great guy. And he was also, the along with being an amazing football player, the one of the best shot putters in the state. So he said, hey, why don't you come out, throw a shot put and discus with me during the off season? And so I did, and that quickly became one of my passions, and still is today, is throwing. I love playing football, and I love that team sport aspect, but as an throwing is more of an individual sport, and I just really became passionate about throwing as well as playing football. I certainly wasn't as good as Steve was. I was a decent thrower, but not, you know, I didn't make it to state. I wasn't that great, but I loved it. I was passionate. I worked hard to get better. And even to this day, I still, you know, just 2 days ago, I went and threw the stone. I don't throw shot put anymore, but I throw in the Highland Games. And the stone throw, which is the origin of the shot put, is one of the events that we do in the Scottish Highland Games. So I graduated, and, you know, I was a good student, but I was more focused on sports. So I really, my first few years, I didn't apply myself as much as I could have in the classroom, but I still graduated with a high enough GPA to get the Bright Future Scholarship. And at this point in my life, I really didn't have any direction other than just wanting to play sports. I didn't really think about college until my senior year. I was like, oh, I'm about to graduate. I guess I better start thinking about college. And despite having offers to, you know, play football at other schools around the country, I just didn't want to do that anymore. And so I registered for classes at UNF, University of North Florida, in Jacksonville. And that's where my brother was going to go. And, you know, we always did everything together, being identical twins. And so I was going to go there. So I registered, I had my classes, and but I really wanted to do track and field and keep throwing. However, at that time, UNF did not have a track team. But I had a girlfriend at the time that was going to Florida State. And I went to go visit her in the summertime. It was like July, early August, right before school started. And I went to visit her, and she was a year ahead of me, and she played softball for Florida State. And so she was showing me a softball complex, and we walked across the street over the track complex. And just by pure chance, the throwing coach was there, and she goes, I think that's one of the coaches. And it was Coach Harless Metters. And this is one of the most pivotal moments in my life, that I tell the story to everyone. And this is one of the, you know, the fork in the road moments that we all have in our lives. And I went up and I introduced myself to Coach Metters. I said, hey, Coach, I'm Brian. I love Florida State. I love track and field. And I want to transfer here in 2 years because I was already registered for classes at UNF. Coach had never met me before, had never seen me throw. And I don't know what possessed him to say this, but he said, what if I can get you in the fall? And I said, I'll go home and pack my bags right now. So I went up to his office. I got an application for admissions. I filled it out, essay and all, in about 30 minutes, which at this point, I don't think they were accepting any more students because school was about to start. And I went back home to Jacksonville. And 2 weeks later, I got my acceptance letter to Florida State. And I didn't know where I was going to live. I just packed up my stuff, and my girlfriend had a lot of friends, so I figured I would just sleep on someone's couch until I found a place to live. And 2 days before I got ready to move, coach called me up and said, hey, one of the coaches has a townhouse, and he's looking to rent it out. Would you like it? I said, I'll take it. Didn't know where it was, had never seen it before. I just said, I'll take it. And so I pack up my stuff. I moved to Tallahassee, and the townhouse happened to be a mile down the street from the track. It was a great place to live. I didn't have to live in a dorm my freshman year, and that started my journey in Tallahassee, and that's where I am 20 years later here in Tallahassee. God had a hand in that and a plan for my life to bring me to this city. And that's where my journey started. So I moved to Tallahassee, and I walked onto the track team. I never was on scholarship, but I got an opportunity to be a college athlete at one of the best D1 schools in the country. And that's one of the greatest achievements and accomplishments in my life that I'm very proud of. To this day, I was not the best thrower. I was an average thrower, but shot and discus. I just wasn't quite as competitive as some of the other guys on my team. Certainly, some of the great throwers around the country. But I did pick up the hammer throw, which I had never thrown before, and I picked it up pretty well, and just had a knack for it, and got pretty good at it. In a pretty short period of time. So that became one of my main events that kind of was my bread and butter in college. I think my best throw in practice around 180 feet, and then best throw in competition was 166 feet, which at one point in time was on the top 10 list for furthest throws for Florida State throwers. Since I think there have been quite a few guys throw further than that. But just so excited to get a chance to be a college athlete. I never thought that would be a possibility, but that continued my journey of wanting to be better than before. In a physical standpoint. At this point, I still didn't even know what I wanted to do with my life. I was still pretty lost in that aspect because I just didn't have a game plan. But that was all about to change. I was first 2 years, once again, I was very focused on track. So I didn't really do that great in school. But I passed all my classes. And then my last 2 years, is when I decided to really get focused, and I made all A's. I'm really a great student when I focus and put my mind to it. But it wasn't until my last 2 years that I really got focused and made all A's and had a decent GPA. At this point, I had met my ex-wife, and we were dating, and then we quickly got engaged, and everything happened really fast. And, you know, at that point in my life, I didn't have a plan. I just was kind of going with the flow. So, you know, I said, well, I'm getting ready to graduate, and I've met this amazing girl, you know, at that time in my life. So I was like, next step is just get married. So that's what we were going to do. Looking back, I certainly wish I had more of a game plan for my life. So ended up graduating, got married, and started working. I was thought about going to medical school, but I didn't think my GPA was strong enough, I didn't really, wasn't sure if that's what I wanted to do. I thought about PA school. So I worked for a dermatology office, which I actually had an appointment this morning with the dermatologist. Everything checked out okay. And so I worked there for a year. I really, at the time, it was a very difficult experience. Looking back, it's what I needed. I'd never worked, I'd worked a couple jobs at Winn-Dixie and, Adventure Landing, working the go-karts, but this was a pretty difficult job, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, seeing a lot of patients, and it just was, for me, I didn't really like the people I worked with, and it just wasn't a fun place for me, but it taught me a lot of discipline, which looking back, I needed in my life. But I decided at that point I didn't want to go to PA school or medical school. I was just really kind of lost. I left that job, started working at a bank, and the hours were better, but I just was not fulfilled. I was working in a cubicle. And I was like, going through this quarter-life crisis, like, what am I doing with my life? And I was competing in the Highland Games, and I was very passionate. I love the Scottish Games, but I was like, I can't make money throwing logs and rocks and weights. Like, I wish I could. I wanted to be a strength coach. And, when I worked at Dermatology Associates, I'd work, 10, 11, 12 hours shifts there. And then I'd go in the evenings and I'd work at Titus Sports Academy. I volunteered there training, young athletes. And I wanted to be a strength coach, but they really don't make a lot of money. And you gotta, work at the very bottom for a really long time just to work your way up. And, that time I was married and we had a baby on the way, and I was just struggling. I was like, I want to do something that I'm passionate about, that I love, but I want to make money. Like, I want to be able to provide for my family. And I was, when I was working at the bank, I was working there during the day and I was delivering pizzas at night, trying to make ends meet, trying to pay our bills, trying to pay off debt. And I was just, what am I going to do with my life? This is not what I want. I don't feel fulfilled. And that's when, out of the blue, the light just came on. And I don't know if it was a divine intervention or what, but it just came to me. It said, go to chiropractic school. It's like, what? I've never even been to a chiropractor. And when I was at Florida State, they were building a medical school there, and there were talks about having a chiropractic school there. I knew that the track team, the athletic programs, had a chiropractor. So I just called them up. I said, hey, I'm thinking about being a chiropractor. Can I come shadow you? And so I went and shadowed this guy, and I was like, man, this is really cool. And I shadowed a couple other chiropractors. I was like, I can really see myself doing this. And that's when I decided, that's when I made a decision. And that's when I got really focused on my career and what I actually wanted to do with my life, to help people, to provide for my family. And that's when I had to kind of put, the training, even though I still train, I still love to do that. That's when I had to make that decision that that wasn't going to be my profession. I wasn't going to be able to provide for my family that way. I had to do something else. And so I started looking at chiropractic schools. And this was in 2008. And I'd visited Logan College of Chiropractic in St. Louis. And I loved the campus. And it was a great school. And they also had a dual degree program where I could get a master's in sports science and rehabilitation, as well as my doctorate in chiropractic. And I knew that I wanted to keep working with athletes. And so that, for me, that sealed the deal. That was a no-brainer. And so even though there are schools closer in Florida and Georgia, we decided to move to St. Louis. And that was in the fall of August 2008. And my oldest son, Brock, was 2.5 at the time. And we had another baby, my son Bronson, who was just a few months old when we moved to St. Louis. And it was really difficult. I had to do a semester of prereqs where I had to take organic chemistry and physics at the same time in a six-week accelerated course. If you've ever taken organic chemistry or physics, you know that that's a very difficult subject, and to take it in an accelerated course was insane. But I was laser focused like never before in my life, and I knew I'm going to do this no matter what it takes. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to become a great chiropractor. I'm going to take care of my family. And so I did really well in chiropractic school. I passed all my classes, mostly A's, a couple B's here and there. I was the only person in my class that had a family. There were a couple other people that are married, but I was the only one that had children. And that was my motivating factor, that I was going to do phenomenal. I was going to pass all my classes, and I wasn't going to stay there a minute longer than I had to, because I had to get out and start working, provide for my family. I took, in undergrad, I took 12 credit hours a semester. In chiropractic school, I took on average about 30 to 35 credit hours a semester, three semesters a year for 4 years straight. That was my life. And it seemed like it was never going to end. And one semester would end and I'd get excited, and then you had to start another one. I took 10 semesters, actually 11, because I had the prereqs, semester of prereqs, and actually 12 because I had to do an internship for my master's degree after I graduated from chiropractic school. So it was quite a journey. I was in school from 7 a.m. All day to the afternoon, and then I'd come home, and my ex-wife would go work waiting tables, and I'd take care of the boys. I'd take them to the YMCA where they could play in the little kids area for a couple hours, and I'd sit in the lobby and study, and then I'd go home and bathe them, feed them, bathe them, get them to bed, and then I'd study some more until I passed out. And I studied every single day, even on the weekends, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours, and that was my life. But I was laser focused, I was dedicated, I was determined to be better than before. This is when everything changed in my life, and I got laser focused about my future and what I wanted. It took a while, and everyone's different. So fast forward to 2012, which was probably the most difficult year of my life. I had one semester left of chiropractic school, and my marriage was not doing so well, and I'd been trying to work things out with my wife, but things were not going well. And then it was January, the beginning of 2012, that my wife left and took my two sons, and I was in St. Louis alone for 2 months. And that was the hardest time of my life. And then in the beginning of March, I had a preceptorship or an internship to finish out my last semester. It was in Jacksonville because that's where we were going to move. And I had to pack up our whole apartment by myself, move across the country from St. Louis to Jacksonville. Although my wife and my boys were in Tallahassee, because that's where she's from. And that was very difficult, not seeing my sons. I moved to Jacksonville and I started my internship, and I was living in a spare bedroom at my brother's house, and I was working all week my internship, not making any money. And then I would drive to halfway to Tallahassee to pick up my sons and drive them back to Jacksonville for the weekend, and then take them back on Sundays, 500 miles round trip in my old beat up pickup truck that had a bad transmission. Several times I had to borrow my brother's truck, my brother's car, because my truck was in the shop. I had no money. I had to borrow money from my brother to get my truck worked on. I didn't have money for my own place. And then it was, my internship was over and I was graduating in April. I had no money to go back to St. Louis. So I had to take out a credit card to buy a plane ticket to fly back. And that was in April, my graduation. And that was the day of my greatest achievement, but also the saddest day of my life. I'd worked so hard for 4 years for this moment, and no one was there. Not my family, and none of my, well, my friends were there that I went to school with, and we graduated together, but it was a very sad time. I'd worked so hard. Everything I had done was for my family, and they weren't even there to see me graduate, and it was very difficult. And then I went back home to Jacksonville and where I'd done my internship, the guy had offered me a job. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to make this work. So it took about a month and I got my license and I started working and it was a beautiful office at the beach in Jacks Beach. And I was like, all right, you know, I've got a job. I'm going to be making some money now. And I'm going to, you know, start seeing my sons and everything's going to work out. And at this time, my brother and his wife were having their second child. My beautiful niece, Emily, who today is actually her birthday. Happy birthday, Emily. And I came home one day and my little spare bedroom where I was sleeping on an air mattress had been completely turned into a nursery. So that was my cue that I needed to move out and get my own place. So I was like, all right, I've got a job now. I'm getting money. So I got an apartment and I had no furniture at all because I had given my ex-wife everything. So all I had was an air mattress and TV. And that's where I lived. And I had been working for about a month and it was about July, August, and I went to work. And of course, I wasn't seeing any patients. There weren't enough patients for me. And my boss told me, I'm sorry, but I can't afford to keep you on. And just out of the blue. And I thought it was a joke at first. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, I'm really sorry. Yeah, this is no reflection on you. You've done a great job, but I just can't afford to keep you on. And just like that, I was without a job, had no income, and I only had about a few $100 left in my bank account. And my rent was coming up, which was more than I had money for. So I had to take action very quickly. And I started looking everywhere in Jacksonville, seeing if there was anyone that was looking to hire an associate, but just nothing really panned out. And I just really knew that I needed to be with my sons. I did have a job offer in Nashville at a big clinic, but the most important thing for me has always been to be there for my sons, to be a part of their lives, because my dad was never there for me. So it was Labor Day weekend 2012 that I decided to move back to Tallahassee so I could be with my sons. And I found a doctor who was looking for an associate. And so I took a leap of faith and decided to move back to Tallahassee. And things did not get better from there. I continued to struggle in 2012. That position lasted for about 3 months. Once again, they assumed that just bringing me on would magically grow their practice, but they did no marketing, no advertising. They did not promote me. They didn't give me any patients. Although I went to B&I meetings and I went to races and I did my own marketing, it just wasn't enough. So they let me go right at Christmas time. And I had a trailer out on the outskirts of town that I could not afford. It's only $800 a month, but I couldn't even afford that. So I had to break up and my rent payments to my landlord. And it was Christmas, and I had $50 to my name. My employer did not pay me. They were always late on paying me, and I should have been paid before Christmas, but I didn't get paid. So I had $50, empty gas tank of gas in my truck, and I had my son's for Christmas. And so I went to Walmart and went and bought them a couple gifts. I bought a little sad Charlie Brown Christmas tree for, I think it was like $5 or $10, and I made the most of it. And that was probably one of the most difficult times that year, but I told myself that no matter what, I wasn't going to give up. I was going to keep striving to make this work, to be better than before. And so since then, just to kind of speed things up, I left there. I worked for another guy for 6 months, and then I had the opportunity to buy my own practice about 7 years ago. Actually, coming up, August will be my 7-year anniversary. And it's been a long journey being a practice owner, but I've continued to work hard every day. I love what I do. I love helping people, and I love being a business owner, being my own boss. And I've continued to grow my practice year after year. It's been 7 years now, and things are finally picking back up. And after this whole COVID crisis, and I'm excited to get back to normal, to start serving my patients. I've got a lot of exciting things. Like I said earlier, I'm getting ready to move to new office space that's right by the hospital, has more visibility, lots of traffic, plenty of parking, plenty of space. I'm going to bring on lots of more new services. So I'm very excited and optimistic about my future. And no matter what your struggles are, you have to keep grinding, keep putting one foot in front of the other, because you can't stop. There's no other option, for me at least, because I'm going to continue to be better than before in my relationships, in my health, in my business, in my finances, every area of my life. And that's my theme in life. And I appreciate you guys letting me be vulnerable and share with you about my struggles. But without struggle, there is no progress. And it's those struggles that have made me who I am today. And I think I'm a better version of myself than I was last year and 5 years ago and 10 years ago. But I'm not a finished product yet. And I never will be. And that's what I love, is the journey and the process of every day working hard, trying to be better than before. So thanks, guys, for your time. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. And get out there, hustle, work hard, and be better than before. I'll see you guys next time. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Thank you so much for listening. It really means the world to me. I hope that you'll follow our podcast on Spotify, Anchor, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Right now, I want to share with you something really exciting that I'm working on. It's a 30-day mobility challenge that's going to help improve flexibility, mobility, athletic performance, decrease pain and injury, and improve performance. I'm so excited about this. I'm working on it right now. So if you're an athlete, if you're a runner, if you're a weekend warrior, or you just want to move better and get out of pain, this program is for you. It's a 30-day mobility challenge, and I'm going to be sharing more information with you in the near future. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day. Get out there, hustle, work hard, enjoy the journey, and be better than before.